Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happened to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Make sure you welcome the person by your side. Make sure you get to know their names. They shouldn't remain strangers. And tell your neighbor you're in for something awesome this morning. Hallelujah. All right. We are going straight into what we have as we move on this series, prospering and thriving in famine season. Let us look at 2 Kings. We are going to be getting to scripture. I told us to read this, 2 Kings chapter 6. We are going to read from verse 24 to verse 33, quite a long read. And then we're going to move from verse 7, from 1, chapter 7, sorry, from 1, verse 1 to 20. So it's quite a long read, but it will give us a picture, you know, and give us the background for what we want to discuss and look into this morning. All right.
And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cob of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver.
So, famine period comes with high inflation of things, and especially essential commodities, foodstuff, and the normal day-to-day things that people need. Are you noticing that? Is that what's happening in Nigeria now? All right, continue.
Then, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king!" And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son."
Okay, so how many of you are noticing what's happening here? This is exactly what's happening in Nigeria. And we need to pay attention to what God is showing us. How many of you noticed that the king didn't have an answer to the issue? So what is God telling us? What's the first prophetic insight for thriving in 2025? I'm not hearing you. Shout louder. And what? The systems and the what? The natural. Because the persons you're thinking are going to help are also looking for help. The king was saying, if God, that's when our politicians are telling us, we better begin to pray. The politicians, they have the meetings. They bring all the reports to them. And when your own president is telling you, pray. This the king is telling them, if God does not help you. Even the presidents know they can't fix this thing. They are receiving the report. They are seeing the data. Now, but there is something this king did that is the reason we are doing what we are doing in this summit. He left his palace and started walking on the wall to look at the real situation. I don't think that many people know the extent of what's happening in Nigeria right now. And that's why some people are still playing and they are still joking. They don't know. And maybe because they still have a job, at least the job is, and maybe they still have businesses that are still paying them. And so things are fair. Yes, they know things are hard, but they still have means to take care of certain things. So, you know, the king, no matter how bad it would have been, the king will still have some, right? But this time around, he left his comfort zone and began to look at what's happening. That's why we did that diagnostic sessions in the first sessions we started with. Because that's where the treatment starts from. Now, this man is faced with a situation that he couldn't stand. That the famine had come to a point where people were killing their own children to eat. Now, if you say a man killed a son, it's understood. A woman killing her son, that's another level. A man can kill a son because he didn't carry that son. A woman has an unusual spiritual connection to her children. They lived in her womb, sucked her breast, nurtured by her side. And for a woman to get to a place where she has to agree to kill her son, that's another level of evil. So let's continue.
Now it happened, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he tore his clothes. And as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. Then he said, God do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today.
Stop. So, what are you noticing here? Why I asked you to read this? You have to see what God is saying. Did you notice that the change only began when the king got desperate? As long as he was still in his palace, having meetings after meetings, discussing and strategizing, nothing was going to change. The moment he saw how serious things had become, and he became desperate, he was ready to do anything. That's when. So these days call for desperate desires. I want to see somebody want something so bad. When I look at your choices, and I look at your routines, and I looked at your discipline, and I looked at the pursuits, what you're going after, I can tell how serious you want something. Some people are still living as if everything is normal. And like I said, maybe someone is giving you money. Maybe you're a wife and it's the husband that is taking the brunt of everything and is giving you money. Maybe you're a husband and an irresponsible one, and your wife is working hard, covering all the bases, so you think it's the little money you bring that is running your home. Maybe you still have a job that can at least put, I keep wondering why they call it 3 square meals, that can put food on your table. You're still driving your decent car, even though the price of gas has increased so much, but you're finding a way. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you still have parents that send you money. Maybe you have guardians that send you money. I don't know the reason some people are acting as if we are living in normal days. So their prayer life is normal. God is even still trying to deal with them. Come on, wake up and pray. Their faith life is normal. Everything is normal. Work life, normal. Giving life, normal. They are taking it so cool. I told you, when I was teaching the series on early and enduring success, and we were working on unmasking this, the mystery of failure, I told you, I said, there are only two things that provoke a man to success. Only two things provokes a man to a place of excellence. One is when failure becomes painful enough. When the man fails to a point, he becomes mad. He can't take it anymore. He just tells himself that I just can't continue. There is a desperation that delivers a change in a man's life. You never commit to a change at all costs. You never commit to change at all costs until you know what is at stake. And a lot of people don't know what is at stake. I said, that's one. The second one is the burden of vision. I prefer the second one. When you have a vision that has possessed you and can't let you be, you sleep, vision. You wake, the vision. You just know you have to accomplish this. For this purpose you live. Everything about you is about that vision. And it must be accomplished. That's the only thing. Those two things. Those are the only two things that provoke men to success. So that's the first thing I want us to notice about this king. He became desperate to a point, not desperation by mouth, to a point he tore his clothes. He couldn't take it anymore. Removed all his royal apparel and wore sackcloth. And he didn't do it hiding. Everybody saw him. Everybody saw him. He got to that point. He got to that point. You know, you're a pastor. You're pastoring a church. You're an entrepreneur. You're working on a business. You're building a company. You're a professional. You're building a career. Whatever it is. And you've stalled. Your growth and advancement has stalled for too long. It gets to a time you say, no! I can't stay in this level anymore.
For how many years I've been moving around this same mountain? Yes, there have been some progress here and there. But when last did you have a shift, a change of levels? For example, this year was wonderful for us as a church. I mean, we saw growth and we made progress in most places. God's been good. We started a fourth service as a church so that we could share the crowd that was coming, especially for the second service. And a lot of people, it was packed full, and a lot of people were staying outside. And by the time we broke into the fourth service, before we ended the year, even before IFPC, the second service now that we broke now to share the crowd started having overflow too. So good. But we could celebrate that. That's what you call progress. Look at another thing. In 1 year, we planted 20 churches in Oka. In 1 year, we planted 20 churches. That's not progress. That's quantum leap. When last did you move from progress to quantum leap? When last did you change level? The Lord said to Moses, you've moved around this mountain for too long. You keep moving around the same level. Yeah, some progress here, plus or minus here. Move upward. Move up not. Now. Move. Have you gotten to that point where you tell yourself, next year won't be a continuation of last year? Next year, 2025, won't be a continuation of 2024. And whatever it takes, have you gotten to a place where you remove your royal apparel? You're ready for anything. That's what this king did. He tore his clothes. And then the second thing I told you yesterday, he didn't call for his finance ministers, because he was wise enough to know that whatever had put them in that position, that the solution to it is nothing natural. Because in farming season, the natural always what?
Fail.
Did I tell you that? Did I tell you that? So some people are trusting their businesses. And remember, we're going to come down to that. God's going to use businesses. When God was prospering Isaac during farming season, he was actually digging wells. I mean, that was physical work. He was actually sowing seeds and tilling the ground. That was physical work. So you could call that his business. But the difference is, where others wouldn't have results, God's blessing was giving him results. You're trusting the business that is folding for a lot of people. How many of us have done better business than Nigerian Breweries Limited, that posted about $106 billion loss, after tax loss, in 2023. How many of us are better than MTN? And we have built businesses better than MTN. They posted about ₦137 billion after tax loss. ₦137 billion after tax loss in 2023. That's last year. We don't know the one they will post this year. We'll soon hear from them.
I told you yesterday, DSTV lost about 235,000 subscribers. That's losses. 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 That's, they are losing money. You lose subscribers, you lose money. So, several companies in the fast-moving consumer goods sectors reported a combined after-tax loss of 284.3 billion naira in 2023, as against a combined profit a year before. They made a combined profit of about 78.9 billion in 2022, but now they made a combined loss, and we are talking about Bua Foods, we are talking about Nestle, Cadbury, Nigerian Breweries, PZ Cousin, Unilever, and Guinness. That's a problem. You see, farming seasons are not normal seasons. What did I say? Say that again. One more time. In farming seasons, the heavens are shut. No rain is falling. There is drought in the ground. So it's no longer about hard work. Farming seasons present conditions and circumstances that limit and frustrate the efforts of natural hard work. So if you rely on the natural only in farming seasons, it may shock you. It may shock you. So this man says, God, do so to me and more also if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today. Why? Because he knows that it is the word of the prophet that can send famine. We saw it with Elijah. No rain in Israel. For 3 years, no rain. And it's also the word of the prophet that can overturn this. He knows. So he's wondering why Elisha will be that in that place and not do nothing about it. He said, I'll cut off his head. This guy, because, and we will soon know why. We will soon know why. Because Elisha was not. Elisha was not his paddy. Elisha saw him, that prophet saw him as a wicked king that did evil in the eyes of God. And against God. So Elisha was not patronizing him. But I could imagine what was going on in the mind of that king. Okay, even if I were to be so wicked like this and he wouldn't patronize me, can't he see what is going on in the life of all these other people that are suffering? In fact, I'm going to kill that guy. I will now show him how wicked I am. Are you understanding me? Let's continue reading, my dear.
But Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, do you see how the son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he was still talking with them, there was the messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord.
Everybody read. Tomorrow, about this time, a seer of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Somebody say, hear the word of the Lord. That's the secret. Everybody shout it loud. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Shout it again. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Shout it loud. I say, hear the word of the Lord. When you study Genesis chapter 26, you'll find out that the first secret to Isaac thriving, not just prospering, but thriving in a time of famine in Gerar, you'll find out that the first secret was the Lord appeared and spoke to him. That's the secret. The believers that are going to thrive the most in this season are the believers that have built, cultivated, and strengthened their capacity to hear God. The way out is when God speaks. The way out is when God speaks. Don't joke with that spiritual ability gifted to us to hear God. Don't joke with it. Don't neglect it. Don't despise it. This is the time to cultivate it, to strengthen it, and to master, to become skillful in hearing God. We are going to come to certain things. I want you to watch the scenario. Peter and his crew had a famine season. It only lasted for a night. But it was a famine season. These are skilled fishermen. And they were in their territory. They've mastered the sea. They know these waters. And they chose the best time to fish. And they toiled and toiled. That means these guys had their strategy, smart work. And they had their hard work. And they toiled all night. In farming season, smart work and hard work ends in futility. Smart work and hard work can easily be frustrated. This is not the season to look at anybody and say, if you're broke, you're lazy. Please don't use that word for people now. Because you don't know. Trust me. But look at where the turnaround came. Jesus comes in the morning, say, can you put your boat a little into the sea, can let me use it. And when he was through preaching and talking to the multitude, he turned around and said, turn and cast your net into the deep. Launch into. Cast your net for a catch. And Peter said, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. But look at the secret. Somebody shout, but at thy word. I'm not hearing you shout it louder, but at thy word. When you face resistance, when you face frustrated efforts, when you face natural limitations, you better have, thus says the Lord. You better have, thus says the Lord. This has been one great secret the Lord gave me, and I've lived like this for long. I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest gifts I can give to you. To live your life in such a way that you treasure God's word and God's voice. In such a way that you do not treat lightly hearing God. It will get you out of situations that naturally there will be no way out. That's actually how God makes a way where there is no way. When you hear him speak. And Elisha, the prophet, declared, This famine ends today. I want us to continue reading. We are going somewhere. So we go to verse 2.
So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes."
If you have a Bible, circle windows in heaven. We are going somewhere. We are going to enter heaven's economics. The man said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could these things be? Okay. In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Continue.
Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there."
But before you continue, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, beware of those kind of officers who try to dissuade you from the realities and the possibilities of the supernatural. Say, beware of these men who believe that life is only practical and natural. Say, beware of officers that discourage people and dissuade people from the possibilities, from the reality and possibilities of the supernatural. Kai, what we are about to teach you, if you don't have absolute trust in God and you don't have faith in God of the supernatural, you won't be able to get it. It's about supernatural dimensions. It's not going to be mystical. It's not going to be magical. It will be delivered through natural avenues. So I want to ask, at the end of the day, when they got that catch, this kind of catch, the Bible said their nets were breaking. They called all their friends and their boats were sinking. These are fishermen. When fishermen, that's their profession. When they catch fish, what do they do with the fish? They eat all of them. I'm asking, what do fishermen, they sell what? So with that kind of catch, what has happened to their business? You see, it was a supernatural move of God, but it impacted practically on the business. That means we're not talking down on your business. We are telling you that we're about to bring the supernatural move into your businesses. So you're going to see the result in practical things. I'm not talking about mystical things, magical things that something will now look like magic. No, that's not what we're talking about. You're going to see it. Why you see two farmers in the same area, one person's land, the same soil, they use the same fertilizer. One person is giving bounty harvest. The other one, bountiful harvest. The other one, nothing is growing. The same place. So continue.
If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, come. Let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of the horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank, and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent, and carried some from there also, and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light..."
You see the things you are going to learn from here. Don't remain silent with it. As you see it work for you, make sure everyone around you gets to it. All right.
"If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied and the tents intact." And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field."
The opportunities God is going to be setting up for us in 2025, many of them will be looking suspicious. Hey! But God has 1,001 ways. I say He has 1,001 ways. Oh, we are not going to be limiting Him. What was His strategy here? Amplification of steps. Kai. Nothing magical. Nothing magical. Just amplification of steps. He is the God of sounds. And four leper steps sounded like the steps of a mighty army. Kano Sandeli Pratekaya. God is speaking to me. I prophesy in 2025, the little steps we will take will be amplified. You will take the steps you will take, but it will be heard. It will be heard as the steps of a mighty army. In the name of Jesus. Kajanda Zandaya Taya. It will take a great level of faith for people to maximize the opportunities and walk into the doors that God's going to be opening. It will look suspect. Ay, Kaya. Let me tell you, am I ready for this, Lord? Am I? Is it time? Okay, He said I should say a bit. I'll tell you a bit about 2025. More angels have been commissioned to Nigeria. How would I say this, Lord? Okay, let me just say the part I can say to you. you're going to be seeing, like never before in this country, supernatural interventions. Heightened activities of the heavenly host. Heightened, I mean heightened. I'm not joking. This is not just another kind. I'm not joking. I'm telling you the exact mind of God. Heightened. Many of us have journeyed in our lives as believers, and we've enjoyed an angelic help, angelic ministries, but we've never encountered angels. 2025, many of you will be encountering angels. You will know. You're going to be hearing testimonies. Mark what I'm saying today. You will hear, and I met this person, I was stranded, and then somebody just appeared. I don't know. The person just helped me, did this, that, and then by the time I was trying to, I didn't see him again. Those are the things you're going to be hearing. And God is doing that because he's wrapping up his program fast. Okay, let me stop here. Continue.
So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we will catch them alive and get into the city.' And one of his servants answered and said, 'Please, let several men take 5 of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see.' Therefore, they took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, 'Go and see.' And they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seer of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seers of barley for a shekel,
According to the word of the Lord. According to what? So what should you be watching out for? Thus says the Lord. Continue, my dear.
So now the king had appointed the officer,
that same officer,
on whose hand he leaned, to have charge of the gates. But the people trampled him in the gates, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him.
Sorry.
So it happened, just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 seers of barley for a shekel, and 1 seer of fine flour for a shekel, shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria.' Then that officer had answered the man of God and said, 'Now look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this such a thing be?' And he had said, 'In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it.' And so it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died."
Yeah. I want you to listen to me. I told you yesterday that there are 3 possibilities, 3 postures, 3 outcomes in famine seasons. You're going to see it all in this place. What's the first one? Suffering in what? The people were suffering. What's the second one? They started devising survival strategies. it became so bad that their survival strategy was to eat one another's, to eat their children. Now, that's why you're going to see fraud increase. Because that's a survivor what? When what the person is doing in a clean way, in a godly way, is not going to give him money enough. You know the kind of survivor strategy that somebody will hear and say, ah, they say there are some people you should work with, and tell a lady, come and meet some people. They are just celebrities. You show them around the city, and the lady starts going. You already know what it means. But this lady is in church, a cell leader. What's that? Survival strategy. I know it's wrong, though, but trying to do this on my own is not easy. I'll find a way and numb my conscience, get myself a man. It's not easy. Survival what? Strategy. I know he's married. We're not sleeping together. I'm not even allowed him to touch me. But he talks with you every night. He chats with you every night. He tells you to send your pictures. What are you wearing? Can you just open it a little and send to me? And then he sends you money. Survivor strategy. I know we don't like to say these kind of things. And people want to walk into places they shouldn't walk into. You see, believers that will go to a club, sit down in the club with people, they are smoking, they are drinking, they are doing things that do not honor the Lord. And they will stay there and they say, anyway, that's the only place I can have a meeting with them. Survivors. People, you know, perilous times, dangerous times are such that people have to find a way. Then we can now get to management techniques, which we spoke of, where people are now finding ways to make what is scarce sustainable. Finding ways and devising ways to, what word will I use, to make what is scarce enough. So they are not trying to break away from scarcity. They are just trying to see how what has been scarce can still be enough. How they can manage with it. How they can survive with it. So the income is not growing. The only thing the person is doing is finding a way to make sure that the income can be enough. And so he has to cut down on this, cut down on that, cut down on that, reduce his standard of living so he can survive. So there are different ways to surviving in famine. Which posture are you going to be taking? Which posture are you going to be taking in 2025? Are you going to accept and submit to suffering? And just be okay. You know, I said it yesterday that some people, because I said failure likes what? Fellowship. Because everybody else is suffering, they feel like there is nothing wrong. At least it's all of us. And they are okay with it. Are you going to be devising strategies and techniques to survive while staying with scarcity? What's going to be your posture? There is another posture, a third one. And that is the will of God for every believer, for every of his child. The will of God for every man and woman of covenant. Everyone under his covenant. The will of God. What's the third posture? I'm not hearing you. Can I hear you louder, please? Somebody say, prospering and thriving in famine. Lift your right hand everywhere. Say, in the name of Jesus, my posture in 2025 is prospering and thriving. I'm flourishing. I'm prospering. I'm thriving. I refuse and resist any temptation to suffer or to survive. No way! I've made up my mind. Listen, this thing I'm teaching you, that's why I'm sitting down and I'm counting my words. This thing I'm teaching you by the Spirit is very vital. I've lived this and I'm living it now. I'm making up my mind that next year, 2025, I'm not going to be careful. The standard of my living, my standard of living and that of my family will increase. It's my decision. You see the conversations we're having. You're already having it in your mind. That conversation, you're having it in your family, with your wife, with your husband. You're already having it with yourself. How small thing will happen? You just get angry. You don't understand what the prices of things at this moment, the prices. And I'm not talking about wastefulness. In any season, even in the season of abundance, God hates waste. And I'm not talking about wastefulness. No, I'm talking about when a man somehow in the depths and the core of his heart and his subconscious has submitted to the circumstance and the conditioning of what's happening. The conditioning of the circumstances of what's happening now. Somehow he is subconscious. And he's taking a posture where he's just surviving. And it's in the language. Why are you going to be wasting salt like this? Why are you wasting water like this? And he's irritated. And you're going to notice it that. It's in the conversations. It's in the reactions. Now I have to balance this. I'm not saying, because I'm careful, I'm a pastor, and I'm careful with my words. I have to balance this. I'm not saying now that some wives who are careless and wasteful, who don't know what people go through to make the money, to give them, there are some women that are like that, and I'm telling you the truth. There are some women that are like that. So I'm not talking about that. That is bad. That is not to be tolerated in any season, even in a season of abundance. And by the way, there are some women that they are the ones that are running their homes even. So let's be balancing everything. Hello? Hello? How many of you are on this table? Let's be balancing everything. But I'm talking about the point where a man now has to say, no. Put on the fan. No, put it off. You say, in this house, we use fan 3 hours on, 3 hours off. And the guy is sweating. He said, no, put it off. He said, no, we are in band A. If you are in band A, let your income enter band A. I said it yesterday. In Nigeria, everything is rising. Inflation high. I said it yesterday, right? Food, what? Rent, what? School fees, what? Transportation. What's remaining is for you to also. You must rise. In 2025, you must rise. I say in 2025, you must rise. Somebody say, I'm rising above the prices. That's the concept of thriving. That's the concept of what? Not cutting down, but rising above. The concept of survival is cutting down. The concept of thriving is what? Rising above. In 2025, we are going to be doing mega projects. We are going to be achieving mega dreams that were not achieved in seasons of abundance. Did I hear somebody shout your loud and say amen? How many of you are ready to thrive? Ah, this thing will require serious renewal of the mind, though. I'm telling you, this thing will require serious renewal of the mind. It will require. Ask your neighbor, do you understand what pastor is saying? Let's look at the patriarchs of faith. Let's look at these men of covenant and how they fared in famine seasons and in hard times. First of all, let's look at Abraham. Abraham experienced a famine season. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. I want everybody to read with me and read out loud. One to go. Now, there was a famine in the land. I'm not hearing you. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was what? So he went down to Egypt to dwell there. Let me tell you a story. Somebody say story. When he was now going, he looked at the wife, Sarah. And Sarah was so beautiful, he became very concerned. He said, these guys might kill me because of my wife. So he tells the wife, when we get to Egypt, just say that you're my sister. And how many of you know that Sarah was his half-sister? Are you aware? So somebody said he lied. I said, no, he didn't lie. He only withheld certain information that he was his wife. The guy wanted to keep the neck. May you marry the kind of woman that at the age of 70, you will be hiding her from men. So all of you that call yourselves daughters of Sarah, may you not be 20 and we think you're 40. Be fine like that, please. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Godly women are the prettiest. Righteousness is beautiful. Are you hearing me? Alright. And so when they got there, I want you to see, how many of you know Abraham was a hard worker? Have you read the story of Abraham in the Bible? He wasn't a lazy man. So for all of people that say, I just believe if you want to make money, it's only business, it's only your career, just focus. No. This is not a conversation. When we talk about the supernatural, we are not saying that it's a substitute for hard work. We are saying that it is a blessing in spite of hard work. This man was, Abraham was an original, very wealthy headsman. So when you heard about the headsman, you think of Abraham. Large livestock. He had a large household. No lazy man has a large household.
But this time around, the what God used to deliver wealth and famine was the beauty of Sarah. Pharaoh saw Sarah. Hey! Pharaoh said, now who are the Ciso? Jesus is Lord, Miss Universe. And Pharaoh began to give Abraham gifts. Abraham, this is Abraham that just, you know, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God just told him, leave your father's house. And this guy is just sojourning. And he began to give him gifts, give him animals, give him servants. Let me explain. By the time Abraham was leaving Egypt, let's see Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. Kai. Everybody hold your neighbor. Call your neighbor by his or her name. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read to your neighbor, one, two, go. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot to the south. Verse 2, shout it loud. I'm not hearing you. Want to go? So he went to Egypt because of famine. He went there because of Sarah. The Pharaoh started, and one day God just showed up and said, Pharaoh, that thing you have in your mind, you try it, I kill you. You try that thing. He said, what? He said, that man, his wife. I said, ah. And Pharaoh came and said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me it's your wife? This, any man would have just, and I would have taken him as my wife. What is that? But God stopped Pharaoh. When you're a righteous woman, there is an aura around you that tames wildness. That a man is a randy dog doesn't come near you. You see a man that does not see anything in skirt and be normal, comes around you and he can't move an inch. Is the glory over your life. There is a restraining power of godliness. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? When you see men chasing around you, wanting to sleep with you, it's because you're not taking your Christian faith and your spirituality serious. What is causing that is the lust existing in your own heart. When there is godliness and you wear it as a cloth, it restricts and restrains. So check what's going on in your heart as a lady, as a man. Everybody that comes around you wants to sleep with you, it's not about them. First of all, go and fix what's going on in your heart as a believer. You attract who you are. What did I say? One more time. Again. It doesn't mean that some people may not come and say nonsense around you, but the first time they try to say it, what happens the first time? We decide whether they will say it the second time. So go and check your heart as a believer. Go and check your heart first. So I want to ask you a question. Abraham existed in a period that famine was very severe in the land. Did he suffer? Did he survive or did he thrive? I'm not asking you. I'm not hearing you yet. Did he suffer? Did he survive or did he thrive? The scripture says Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. He came out richer. I'm prophesying to somebody under the sound of my voice. 2025 is going to be delivering for you financial prosperity. Wealth like you've never had it before in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. To show you that Abraham understood how his prosperity came. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. To the place
of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He knew the source. He knew the source. He knew the source of his prosperity. And he went and worshipped on the altar and called upon the name of the Lord. I pray that when you are increased and you have built goodly houses and your barns are overflowing and your vats are overflowing, that you do not forget the Lord your God. That you remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives us power to get wealth, because he establishes his covenant. When God makes a covenant, famine cannot stop it. Famine does not stop the covenant of God's blessing. Let's look at Isaac. Isaac, Genesis chapter 26. Let's read from verse 1. There was famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So this is another famine. Now, we are seeing our covenant fathers. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of Philistines, in Gerar. Verse 2. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you." So there are people that God will say, travel to Canada, travel to UK, travel to Europe. But there are people that God will say, don't go. He allowed Abraham go. He didn't let Isaac go. Don't do what everybody else is doing. Do what God is saying. Prosperity doesn't come from abroad. It comes from above. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And then I will make your descendants, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws. Now I want you to go down to verse 12. And Isaac obeyed and stayed. I want everybody to read and read out loud. Everybody, one, two, go. I'm not hearing you. And reaped when? What? And I want you to answer me and answer me very loudly. Does famine stop the covenant of God's blessing? What are the terms of the blessing? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and no famine on earth stops the blessing. Now, I have told you that a hundredfold is a fullness, but as I was praying, the Lord told me, he said, you've been saying that for a while, and said, I want you to go and study the word in the Hebrew, exactly what a hundredfold is. He said, because when you say fullness, you're not wrong. It's the fullness, because there are 30, 60, and 100. And 100 is the fullness of it. But I want to exactly go and check, and I went to check. And hundredfold means exactly times 100. Literally times 100. That means you sowed 1,000, and you reap 100,000. Exactly times 100. That means 10 million will become 1 billion. Somebody has to get this. Somebody has to get this. I now knew why God was telling me that this thing you're taking fullness. He said it's stopping you from seeing the clear picture. So he told me, he said, this year, expect times 100. And then he asked me, is that too big for your mind? I pray somebody got the message. Is there anybody here who got the message? How many of you are going to believe God that from 10 million naira, 1 billion is going to come forth by the terms of the blessing? A hundredfold increase. Someone under the sound of my voice in 2025, in the name of Jesus, for the things you sow in faith, you shall reap in the same year, not the year after, but the same year, a hundredfold increase. When he told me, I began to pray. And I prayed in the spirit, and I prayed in the spirit until I could shout, yes! I'm ready for a hundredfold harvest. How many of you will be ready for a hundredfold harvest? Hundredfold. Hundredfold, hundredfold harvest, hundredfold, times 100, that a 1 million will bring 100 million. Ah! Kanumana, you understand what I'm saying? All you got, if you have 1 million right now, or you could raise 1 million, or you set your vision on a harvest of 100 million, and then you get in there and you begin to pray in tongues, because it's for Kaya to Shakataya, it's for Ikalamunokotoya, it's for men who understand the supernatural, it's for men who understand the supernatural. So it is a mystery to the natural. You've got to pray in the spirit and stay there and stay there, praying in tongues and praying in tongues. If in one day is not done, you continue the second day. If in the second day is not done, you continue to the third day, to the fourth day. If it takes you 14 days, you pray in tongues and pray in tongues until there is a download of the right strategy, that you've got to use that 1 million and you're going to have 100 million. You will see the strategy downloaded to you. You will see it given to you. You will see it. It will be given to you by the Holy Spirit. Your expectations align with your manifestations. Or manifestation, sorry, aligns with your first expectations. Your manifestations aligns with your expectations. What you're going to see will answer to what you want to see. He reaped in the same year 100-fold. Now I'm not talking about falling prey because of greed to fraudsters. I'm not talking about somebody coming to you now and say there is an investment. If you put no. That's not what I'm talking about. Please, and I pray you don't open up yourself to such things. And anyway, we are the sons of God who are led. And wisdom is what? A defense. There are principles of wealth. Somebody can't just tell me, put money in here, and then I'll get money. I'll ask, what does the money do? Can I see it? Can I come and inspect it? I never invest my money until I make thorough research. And I never invest my money in a sector I don't have a thorough knowledge of. Money answers only to products, services, and solutions only. Any investment that I can research the product being sold, the services being rendered, the solutions being provided, I don't invest. It's a Ponzi scheme. And the Holy Spirit will lead your heart. So don't let the lust for money, greed and covetousness lead you into falling prey to fraudsters calling you on phone and say, you just won 10 million. Give us 500,000 to collect it. I hope you're getting the warning. I hope you're getting the warning. Yes. So you don't allow the enemy to take advantage of you because you're expecting a 100-fold increase. Give God praise if you're getting what we're saying. I really said give God praise. Hallelujah. There is someone under the sound of my voice today that all you have is 100,000. God is going to be giving you in there tonight, not tomorrow. The Lord is speaking to me now. He's going to give you an idea tonight, just tonight, that will launch you into the zone of mega millions. And it will require just exactly what you have. And then it will start. The process will start. Few months into 2025, you'll be walking into mega millions. You won't be able. If people were told that this is how it started, now remember, this is the hand of the Lord. We are going to be accomplishing so much with so little. So one of the prophetic insights you must have is do not despise little. Inside little is the harvest of much. If you can place that little in the hands of God, if you can let the Lord lead you on how to deploy that little, if you can allow the Holy Spirit shine His light in what area, in what manner you should deploy that little, it will bring forth a harvest that will be mind-blowing to you. Somebody say a big amen. Do not despise little. Do not despise little. So then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Let's look at verse 13. Still hold that neighbor's hands. If that neighbor is favored, look at him and say, you are highly favored. Now read that scripture to that neighbor. One to go. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Verse 14, shout it louder. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and a great number of servants. So the Philistines. Hi. Someone under the sound of my voice, your name is changing in 2025. You will no longer be the pitied. You will become the envied. You will no longer be the pitied. You will become the envied. You will no longer be the pitied. You will become the envied. Your name changes to the envied. Because all who trusted in the natural will look at your results and see that trusting the Lord pays better. They will envy you. They will envy you. Now I want to ask every love son here, everyone under the sound of my voice, in famine, did Isaac suffer? Did he survive? Did he thrive? Did he thrive? Did he thrive? I want to lay this thing out. Let's go to Jacob. Let's keep moving. Jacob had his own famine season individually. It wasn't a famine that affected everybody. But it was a hard time for him. Genesis chapter 28 from verse 10. After he had received the blessing from Isaac the father, Esau now pondered it in his heart and even said it out. that he will wait for the father to die and after the mourning of his father, because he knows that if he will kill Jacob, that will grieve the father so much. So he said, I'm going to wait for the father to die. He was going to wait for the father to die. And then after the mourning, he was going to kill Jacob. And Rebecca heard it and now came to tell Jacob and say, it's time for you to run. Run to Laban and tell Laban I sent you. That's your uncle. And then convinced Isaac that Jacob should not take a wife from the Canaanites. I should go back to where she's coming from and take a wife. And that pleased Isaac and they sent him. Now he ran for his life without any possession. All he had were his clothes. And then if you understand the Middle East, you understand their climate and their weather. You know that when they are moving in those rocky and deserted places, one treasure they carry is their anointing oil. Their anointing oil is not like anointing oil I will talk about. It's anointing oil to anoint their body. They rub their body for two things. They protect their body from the sun, because in the desert, the sun is so hot. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there's from sunburns, and then also they put, you know, repellents for snakes, scorpions, and insects. So when they sleep outside in the deserted places, so that's the greatest treasure this guy had, the greatest treasure, and that's all he was running with too. The one carrying the blessing is leaving his father's house, running for his life. And then he has an encounter. Help me to read. From verse 10, I would like you to read as fast as you can to verse 22. I want us to listen very carefully.
Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. And its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending.
Watch the order. Somebody say ascending and descending. Not descending and ascending. There is a reason. Okay, that's an altar. He was at the very place where Abraham has raised an altar. Now years have passed. Different things have happened. I want you to watch. This is very key. But yet, the altar raised at that point was still speaking. An altar is a gate of heaven. That's a portal in the spirit that connects heaven to earth. And once there is an altar, the activity of heaven is the angels deployed on earth carry that which is natural, that which is man's, and goes to heaven, and then brings down what is God's down to earth. That's why the altar is a place of divine exchange. You lay what is natural and receive what is supernatural. Powerful. You've got to understand what's happening here. There are mysteries going on here. And every altar has a priest that tends to it. Now you've got to understand that the blessing as was given to Abraham was released to Isaac. So Isaac became the custodian. The next person that became the custodian from Isaac was Jacob. So Jacob was the one carrying the mandate that would activate that altar. The moment he laid his head there, the same, because he's the priest that carries the mandate, that altar began to speak. I am saying something. I pray you are understanding me. But let's go. You understand. That's not my focus first. When we start dealing with the mystery of altars, I'll get you there. Continue.
And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham.
So altars are places of covenant. The moment he did that, the covenant, God begins to remind him of his covenant. Continue. I am
the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants.
So you see, it's the same land he gave to Abraham. Uh-huh.
Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
How many of you saw this God say the same thing to Isaac in Genesis 26? Is that the same thing you heard? Mm-hmm. Alright, continue.
Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar.
Okay, at that moment, did Jacob have an animal? Did he have any other? What's the greatest treasure he had? For his journey. So see what he did. He poured the oil on top. Meaning, I'm going without oil. Sacrifice. He understood what was going on there. Remember Abraham, God said he will teach his children. So these men have been taught, they understand the ways of the covenant. I want you to see what the scripture says in Psalms chapter 50 verse 5. We'll come back to verse 18 of 28 chapter of Genesis. Everybody read. I want you to shout it loud. If you want to understand how we thrive in famine, you must know this. Everybody shout it loud. Want to go?
Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
One more time.
Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
So Abraham made a covenant with God. You see, I want you to understand the secret. Number one is God making a covenant with you. The other is you making a covenant with God. God makes a covenant with us on the platform of grace. Abraham didn't do nothing, and God called him and appeared to him. On the platform of grace, we make a covenant with him on the platform of sacrifice. That's how it works. So when the two, did you notice that Jacob, go back to Genesis 28, Jacob didn't do anything on a platform just because he's now the custodian of the blessing. Go back to verse 28 where we were. Just because he's now the custodian of the blessing, the Lord just appeared and began to speak and began to bless. He didn't do anything. So, whatever God spoke over him was by grace. But when God finished speaking by grace, he now made a covenant by vows and sacrifice. He made a vow. A vow. And he took the most precious thing he had. What will cost him everything? That could cost him his life. That could cost him his health on that journey to Laban's place. And he poured it on that stone and made a sacrifice with God. Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. Verse 19.
And he called the name of that place Bethel.
Uh-huh.
But the name of that city had been Luz previously.
Verse 20. Everybody read. and read out loud. One, two, go.
Then Jacob made a vow.
I'm not hearing you. You're not loud enough. Shout it louder.
Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on.
Verse 21.
So that I come back to my father's house in peace.
Then yes, continue.
And this stone which I have set as a pillar
shall be God's house. It means that we build God a house here. In our contemporary, I will build God a church. Where believers can gather to worship Him. I will build God a house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth. Did anybody make a law? Any demand? Vow from his heart. From his heart. So somebody said to me, he said, do you know Christians, should they tithe? It's under the law. I said, shut up. He said, even the tithe then used to be grains and animals. I said, shut up. He said, Pastor, what do you have to say? I said, I don't answer stupid questions. I don't answer stupid questions. I don't make stupid arguments. You can never have a right answer to a question that is very wrong. He made a vow to God. Now, let's see what happened. I want us to look at Genesis chapter 30. Verse 25 to 28. Now, he has gone to Laban's house and so many things. Tell your neighbor, sit up. Talk to your neighbor, say, sit up. Hey, sit up fast. Or you go out straight. You don't sit direct in my sight and not stop. Now he has gone to Laban's house, and I want everybody to listen carefully. And then he has started serving Laban. And one day, obviously, you know, he told Laban, I'm in love with your daughter Rachel. And say, I will serve for 7 years for her. Obviously, he doesn't. That means at that moment, custodian of the blessing. Custodian of the blessing is servant. You know what it means? He doesn't have money to pay. So let me use service for 7 years and give me my wife. After 7 years, Laban did to him. So he knew that that thing he learned from Rebecca, the mother, is a family thing. You know, it's Rebecca that came to call him and say, go. He was even telling Rebecca, how will my father? He will even curse me because Esau is hairy. Rebecca said, leave that to me. Go and bring the goats. It's Rebecca that hatched that plan. I hope you know. Is Rebecca. So that thing is from their family. It's a family trade. So love, God, hey Jesus. Love and didn't, the more you look, the less you see. That's why we used to tell people, before you say anything, open the veil. And you know those makeup that women used to make? Before you receive Leah, taking his Rachel. And they gave him Leah. And Laban is very, very intelligent. Make sure he got drunk. That's the only way he would have been in that room not knowing that it was. Obviously, he got drunk. In the morning, he said, this is not, look at what I ordered. Look at what I got. And that's the end of Kai. And Laban said, it's not done in our place that you come and marry the younger. Why the elder is, it's okay, I will serve at. So, how many years serving? 14 years. So you've got to understand what's going on, and we were not told how many years before he started serving the first 7 years. So see what's happening here. And it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country." Verse 26. "Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. I have served you with my whole heart. I have been faithful. But give me my children." Now, this guy now has 11 children. In fact, more than 11 children. 11 sons and 2 daughters, I think so, by this time. So he's already loaded. Okay? I want everybody to look at verse 27 and read it out loud. One to go. "Please stay. If I have found favor in your eyes, where the boss is begging the staff, please. The reason I'm blessed this way is for your sake. The reason we've increased is for your sake. Please stay." And so, verse 28, you say, "Name your wage. Whatever you want, name your wage." At the end of the day, Jacob named his wage. "Let me go into the flock and take out every streaked and what? Spotted among the sheep, and let them be my pay. And when we get to the goats, the ones that are brown, let me take them." Laban looked at, maybe he saw in 100, there may be just 3 or 4. And he thought it wise. This guy wants to shoot himself on the foot. Anyway, deal. Why? Jacob said, "I don't want tomorrow you say this. So that whenever I'm ready to go, when you see in my flock any sheep that is not spotted or streaked, then I've stolen from you. So let's settle it that this will be yours and this will be mine. I want my hands clean." And he agreed. I want you to look at verse 43. This is a man who went through periods where the man who is supposed to be the custodian of the blessing. Do you know what it means? You're shouting, "I'm blessed, I'm blessed," and then you're in servitude. You're still a servant. Left his father's house, left his mother, left every comfort. Did he survive, or did he thrive? Let's look at verse 43. Go down to verse 43 of the same. And everybody, please read and read out loud. One to go. Because of time, I would have given you the... go and study Joseph too. Joseph was ushered into his ordained prophetic destiny by providing solution to the threat of a coming famine. In fact, he thrived in slavery and in servitude to Potiphar. Even as a prisoner, he thrived. Joseph thrived. It was a coming famine that he gave a solution to, that gave him the prime minister. So, I wanted to go to Genesis chapter 41. Get me verse 53. Genesis 41, 53. "Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, And the 7 years of famine began to come. And Joseph had said, the famine was in all lands. But in the land of Egypt, there was bread. I read this and the Lord gave me a word. He says, son, in 2025, famine will be in all the lands, but in your land there will be bread. Some of you have to learn how to raise your hands and possess God's word. Say with me, in my household there will be bread. Say in my company there will be bread. Say in my businesses there will be bread. Say in all that I do there will be bread. Say there will be abundance. Covenant men, don't suffer in famine. Covenant men, don't survive in famine. Covenant men, always prosper and thrive in famine. I want you to hold your neighbor, call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, I don't want you to forget this. Say, God specializes in blessing his covenant people during famine and in hard times. Say, the God we serve is no respecter of famine. He's no respecter of hardship. He's no respecter of the economy of the nations. Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of this, and upon whose covenant we are beneficiaries. This Jesus never allowed lack or scarcity to stop him. We've talked about him with an empty cart. We caught nothing. He spoke a word. You look at Matthew chapter 14 and you see him with 5,000 people. Matthew chapter 15 with 4,000 people. At different times. At one time he said, can we get food for them? They said, they have only 7 loaves. And he said, how can these take care of this multitude? Jesus never let scarcity or lack stop him. He didn't define the resource he's going to have. Listen to me. When we come in the evening, because I'm through with this, I'm going to now begin to lay a foundation. I finished with the foundation. I'm going to begin to now give us the keys to thriving. To give us the grace. I just want you to settle it that this is God's will. This is how God operates. When we come, you're going to notice one of the things that famine affects. And one of the keys to thriving in famine is never cut down on your dreams. Never you amplify your visions and amplify your dreams. Why? One of the lies that famine tell people is that there is scarcity. So your dreams are luxuries. You can't afford it. Cut down and just try to survive. Let me tell you, there are dreams and visions that God has given me years ago that I have incubated in the womb of my heart for many years. That 2025 is the year I'm going to be accomplishing it. I'm not planning to slow down. I'm not planning to cut down on anything. I'm actually increasing my visions. Don't let scarcity or lack scare you. Stop looking at your bank accounts. It's distracting you. Go. Itayata sakataya. I was telling someone something. I said one of the bankers was using stopped sending us SMS alerts after a period of time, and I was like, oh, how will I plan? What's going on? I want to make sure you're sending me, and I'm not an email person. Some people are more email inclined, I'm more SMS inclined. Okay? And when they now rectified everything and started sending SMS, I now told my wife, I said, God, why are they sending this SMS? I didn't know the blessing I was enjoying, not looking at my account. Then it dawned on me that it was such a blessing never to consider my account. Because when they were not sending SMS, I was making plans without knowing what was inside. I said, this was such a blessing. So I stopped looking. I'll get SMS for 1 week, 2 weeks. I won't check the balance. I won't check what is in there. I don't care. It doesn't matter at all. Because I have another account. May God grant you understanding. You didn't hear what I just said. Now, I want to hear this as I wrap up. When you have a revelation of the covenant, hear this, and maybe you should write it down. When you have a revelation of the covenant, and a revelation of the blessing of that covenant, and you know how to operate and practice the terms of that covenant faithfully. Now, let me come again. When you have a revelation of the covenant, and you have a revelation of the blessing of that covenant, and you know how to operate and practice the terms of that covenant faithfully, famine seasons will be your greatest prosperity seasons. God always prospers his covenant people the most during famine. For covenant people, our greatest prosperity always comes in hard times, in tough times. So, I want, this is where I want your faith to be. In the evening, I'm going to give you the real, prophetic insight you must take from this. Everybody must move into next year with the expectation that is the year you're going to have your greatest prosperity yet. When it's toughest out there, when it's darkest out there, that's when the glory of God arises on us. I'm expecting so much next year. So much. My heart is welling up with great visions. I know what I'm telling you. My heart. There are some of the things we planned as a church to accomplish this year, 2024, that we didn't now get to doing. It won't take us 2 months next year for us to finish it. It won't take us. I know what I'm telling you. It will be every week great significant achievement. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, when you go, I want you to settle your heart in this. Prepare your heart. Make a decision. You have no other option. I'm not suffering next year. I'm not surviving. I don't have any plan for it. Please, if you have any plan for surviving, remove it. We are working, so let's see how this business will survive. It's not been easy, Pastor. You wouldn't understand, if not for the grace of God, the mercy of God. God is able to do. So if you bring survival, He will give you survival. Go beyond survival. Make up your mind, I'm thriving next year. Everyone say, I'm thriving next year. I want you to write the scriptures down. Meditate on these two scriptures before you come in the evening. That will lead us into the major keys to thriving in famine. And then I'll be through with this in the evening. So make sure that you are here and bring as many people as you can. This evening is going to be awesome. Somebody shout a big amen. Job chapter 5 verse 22 and Psalms chapter 37 verse 19. Job chapter 5 verse 22 and Psalms chapter 37 verse 19. Let's stand on our feet as we read those scriptures. Hey! Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Somebody pray in the spirit. Katu shakata. Libra nekos and alitosa. Libre doshandi paradosa. Le katesun de libra de katus. Libra de katus and de libre getosh. Libra de kos and de libre de sota. Libra de kandesun de libre kata. Yes, Lord. Katea la barito. Libra in de kos and de libra katosa. Libra de kaya la de sopranda. Libra de kaya la de skopanda. Libra de sun de libre getosh kapa. Libra de sun de libre kapaya. Libra de kaya la de skopata. Libra de sutana kaninkra. Desco prati, rose in the libre che posata, lebra de caia la dea, lebra dosa tea caratesca, lebra de sun de libre catosa, lebra de sun de libre getosa, lebra de caia la dosa, lebra de cariborusce tea, lebra de sun de ligre desca, lebra de sataya. Hear me, hear me. Listen, dislodge and close every accommodation you've made for survival. Anywhere in your heart you've devised strategies, dislodge it. You can't be in unbelief and be in faith at the same time. Now, let me say that again, because that you've got to understand the thin line between living in abundance and being wasteful. Living in abundance is having more than enough food and then taking the food, because they are more than enough, and start giving to what? Others. It's called overflow. So the overflow means it flows to others. It flows over to being a blessing to others. Now, being wasteful is having food and then you dish more than you can eat, and then you remain, then you keep it, then you sleep, by the morning it's spoiled. Then you throw it away. When you throw away food, you're not living in abundance, you are what? Wasteful. There are people that need their food. Being wasteful is having food in plenty and then you're lazy to preserve it. Another person will come in and go immediately and search out ways to preserve that food. And they say, oh, there is no electricity supply like we have here. Epileptic supply in some places. In my place, it's not epileptic. They try in my place. At least we have 20 hours to 24 hours sometimes. Amen. Amen. So there is no light, and you know sometimes they can just take light for some days. Something happened to the national grid, something happened to the transformer in the area. And then the person said, there is no light, so they spoil it. Another person says, no, go and get firewood immediately. Let's smoke this. Let's dry this. Or even if I can't do it, let me take it to the market and find those who can what? Do it, and then I will pay them. Just find a way to store these things. Wastefulness is, these things are spoiling. The thing is that sometimes, I always talk about poverty as a function of unhealthy and poor value system. I used to do this. I bring out, something happened on our site one day, and people were careless. We were building, and people were careless. And when I came, I asked them to calculate how much is the block, how much is the cement, how much they paid the laborers for what they had to destroy. There are things you just can't avoid, but this one was just, sheer carelessness, it was very bad. So, and they calculated it, and it was quite in, like, in hundreds of thousands. So, I now brought out a bundle of 50,000 and gave the guy and said, begin to tear it into pieces. I said, tear it into pieces. He said, Pastor, no. I said, oh, you can't tear paper into pieces that the value is 50,000, but you can be careless to destroy something that the value is over 100,000. So you have more value for paper than you have for this, because you think money is paper. You see people that they want of food spoiling in their houses. But if you give them 10,000 naira paper, they can't tear it and flush down the whole toilet. But they can sit down and be comfortable for food to spoil in their houses, and they keep throwing it away. This one is, I'm very, the way I grew up, I don't like seeing people wasting food. So what's Jesus? Jesus multiplies bread. 5,000 out of 5 loaves. Men, not counting women and children. And after they finish eating, what did he say? Gather the fragments that nothing be. So abundance does not tolerate waste. Abundance does not tolerate waste. Wastefulness is a character default. It's a problem of lack of discipline. It is a character flaw, wastefulness. And a product of a poor value system, wastefulness. That's not abundance. How many of you are ready for abundance? Are you sure? Now, do what I tell you to do in the next 1 minute. Raise your voice and pray in the spirit as if your whole year depends on this prayer now. As if the whole 2025 depends on what you're praying now. There is a surgery going on. Everywhere there is a tolerance. Everywhere you made room. Subconsciously. Everywhere you made room subconsciously. To accept suffering. To accept survival. There is an uprooting of it now. Ekayatush. Ligalu zegete, ligredo shandaya, lebo dekush, ligrende kot, legayakut, lebride kusheke, lebrande inkarando sate. Make room for abundance. 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 Hey, Karina Kato Shagada. Eprende zundalaba. Le garada kata. Le brindo zundelega. Li grede zuta. Li grebota. Le bunde zingeleba. Le payala dos. Inge libre dos. Le bride zundea. Le payekota. Li grede sota. Le gere brota. Li gerubos. E pari de kete. Luzetea. Le gredes. Le pradekaya. Every, lift your hands. Every survivor tendency is dislodged from your heart in the name of Jesus. Whatever programming from your upbringing, whatever programming from your past experiences, whatever programming from what you've gone through that had raised a stronghold that resists abundance but makes you comfortable in mediocrity, only working and devising strategies for survival in the name of Jesus, that programming is uninstalled today. That programming is deleted today. By the light of God's word, by the oppression of the spirit within our hearts, that stronghold is shattered. That stronghold is brought down. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, oh, do a clean up in the hearts of people. Spirit of the living God, do a clean up in our hearts. Do a clean up in our hearts. And make room for abundance. Make room for abundance. Make room for abundance. Make room for abundance. Ayakata shakata. Ligegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegegeg
We submit to you this morning. We align with your will. We align with your will. We do not fear. We are not perturbed. We are not terrified. We are not alarmed. Our hearts are open. Our hearts say yes. We 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 are thriving, not surviving. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. I am Alakatai. Hey, Alama, Mama, Mama. Hey, Alagatash. Hey. Hey. Lift your hands. There's an anointing in this place. Oh, I know it's the Spirit of the Lord. Ela Baba, lift your hands. Ayakata. Sikata. Declare with all authority. Say in the name of Jesus. I lose all fears. I lose all fears. Fear of abundance. Fear of thriving. Fear of having much more than enough. I lose it. My heart is open. I reach upward. I reach forward. I'm done with surviving. I begin to thrive. To prosper greatly. In the name of Jesus. Abundance. You are at home. In my life. Welcome. I'm comfortable with you. I receive you. I treasure you. You are at home. In my life. In my family. In this ministry. Abundance. Welcome. I take hold of you. I thrive beyond what eyes have seen.
seen, beyond what ears have heard, beyond what is imaginable. In the name of Jesus, I take hold of my inheritance. I take hold of the blessing of my covenant with God. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am a son of God. I have an inheritance. I have a covenant. In the name of Jesus, I do not fear famine. I do not fear hardship. In the name of Jesus. Hey, mama. Hey, mama. We have not entered yet, too. This one is preparation. Preparation. Just to get our hearts comfortable. Just for us to rehearse. Hey, mama. Wait till evening. We will now delve into wisdom empowerment. How to do this thing skillfully. So meditate on the scriptures. Let's read it. Can we possess it? Read to your neighbor first, then we'll possess it later. Read to your neighbor. One to go. You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beast of the earth. When a man is laughing at a thing, it means it won't touch him. The only concern I have about Nigerian economy is about others. And the only thing is that I keep increasing in vision. Like now, if you know anybody that doesn't have food this period, genuinely they don't have. A family suffering in any way, a widow anywhere, people in anywhere, come and let us know. I put it up the other day. And people that have been coming will be helping. That's my only heart. How many more people can I help? If you see me burdened, it's the burden of the Lord. There is nothing happening in this country. Even if war break out, I'll be the richest out of it. And I will not be the one to die. Say your own. Don't we have the same access? Don't we share the same inheritance? Don't we have the same father? Say your own. I will laugh next year. Will be for us a year of laughter. We've been laughing through things. We've been laughing our way to victories. We've been laughing our way to significant achievements. We've been laughing, Kayata. Psalms chapter 37, verse 19. Inanda, Lake Edonza. Lekra de Kata. Oh. One to go. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine. I checked that word satisfied. And maybe you go and check it yourself. It means filled with plenty. God's plan. Go and check it. I checked it in the Hebrew.
It means filled with plenty. God's plan for his covenant people is that in famine, we are filled with plenty. Now choose you whose report you will believe. Choose whose will you will submit to. Me, I'm here to do your will. Since God's will, since God's will, okay, look at it in the NIV. Filled with plenty. Look at it in NIV. Everybody read, one to go. Not in days of abundance. God releases his best in days of famine. Hey, are you excited about this year? Your greatest resource will come in toughest days. So I'm here to do God's will. I don't know about you. My life is about... So if his will, and I'm seeing it, is that we will enjoy plenty. I don't have any plan. So when you're coming for strategy session this evening, please, we are going to be making plans based on this revelation. Don't have any plan that is not abundance. In fact, when I get you into, I don't know if I'm going to do it in this evening, depends on how it works. I'll get you into what strategy we are going to be using next year. It's called 10 times strategy. 10x strategy. 10 times. 10x strategy. Every goal you didn't achieve this year, you 10x it for next year. Anyone you didn't achieve this year, you plan to 10x it for next year. Then when you 10x it, then we have 100x, 100 times expectation of harvest. We are going to use this. We are going to come and do practical strategies. We are going to strategize next year. And then we will stand on God's word. Hold him to his word. And make radical with our faith. Somebody hearing what I'm saying? Be radical with our faith. Lift your hands and begin to bless him. Thank him for what he's done here this morning. Thank you for what he's done here this morning. Thank you for what he's done here this morning. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we glorify you. Oh, you are awesome. Thank you for your mighty word. Thank you for your mighty word. Thank you for your mighty word. Thank you for changing our lives. We give you praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Somebody put a praise on it. Somebody put a mighty praise on it. Put a mighty praise on it.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ivichukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ivichukwu.